Good morning, church. How's everybody this morning? Good, good, good. Glad you're here. So, how many of you have seen The Chosen? You haven't seen The Chosen? Some of you haven't seen The Chosen. So you need to do that. It's good. Well, they're coming. They've done some 4 seasons. They're coming out with a season 5 here shortly. And so Cheryl and I thought, well, you know, let's go back to the first and just start again, just to kind of make it all fresh again. So we were watching season 1, episode 1 last night, as a matter of fact. And I won't spoil it for you, but basically, Mary, we know from Scripture, Mary of Magdalene was possessed by 7 demons. And she, in the way they portrayed it in The Chosen was she would have normal times where she was okay, she was in her right mind, and then she would be attacked, and it was just this awful going back and forth. She was coming to the point where she was ready to end her life. And her father, when she was a little girl, had her memorize this scripture out of Isaiah 43. This is what the Lord says, He who created you, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. And in this portrayal on The Chosen, Mary, who's at the end of a rope, literally, and she is walking, probably getting ready to end her life, and Jesus comes behind her, and he stops her, and he says, Mary, Mary. And just that moment of the Savior knows my name. Did you know that he knows your name this morning? Isn't that amazing that the God of the universe that flings the stars in the sky, spins the world on his finger, knows your name, has called you as his very own? That's who we worship this morning. So let us go to the Lord and worship. Let's invite him. I'm glad you're here in the sanctuary. I'm glad you're here worshiping with us online. Let's pray. Father, you are the King of Kings. We are humbled that you know us by name. You call us by name. We are your very own. Would you send your Spirit into this place today? Would you be high and lifted up? We exalt the name of Jesus, and it's in that name that we pray. Amen. You'll rise if you're able. Let's worship.
Good morning. Let's sing together. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive the ones who sin against us. Forgive them. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let your kingdom come. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive the ones who sinned against us. Forgive them and lead us not into temptation, but deliver. Let
Early service this morning, I'm grateful that the wind has stopped-ish. And so with that, it is one of those things, though, that I was telling the early service, you can't help but marvel in the fact that even though God speaks and answers many times in the calm, he also can produce great and ferocious strength through nature. And so it's one of those things that regardless of the weather, regardless of the situation you're looking at this just mighty, mighty power of God that we can be awe-filled from, that we can be reverent of. And so with this, we're going to keep singing. And that's our goal this morning, as always. Our goal is just to be in awe of who God is. And so let's just keep going with that, and we'll go from there.
Lord God Almighty.
it if the kids would come forward.
Can you scoot over? Let me sit. Okay? All right. You're not going to have to share this chair. You think? No? Okay. All right. Thank you, Sarah. All right. All right. Come on down here. Sarah, come on down here. Okay? All right. Good to see everybody this morning. Are y'all excited today? Yes. All right. Everybody give me a big smile. All right. Everybody have a good weekend. Do lots of fun stuff. Yeah. Y'all like the weather? Don't you like this warm?
Not so much. I want to swim.
You want to swim? Okay. Well, it's going to be swimming weather soon, okay? Yes. Please, 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 quickly, right? Okay. So my question is, who created us?
God.
God did. That's right. And Jesus. That's right. Did you know? Do you think, let me ask you this, do you think God is a little God or do you think he's a big God? Big God. What are some big things that he's done?
Saved someone from the dead.
Yes, he raised someone from the dead. Yes. Did he? Yes.
He killed himself for us.
He died on the cross for us. That's right. Did he create the world?
Yes.
Did he put all the planets in the heavens?
Yes.
Did he make the flowers and the trees and the animals?
Yes.
That's a really big God, isn't it? And we're so thankful that he made he's so big that he made all of that for us to enjoy. So another thing that God is, God makes really big promises. Do you know what a promise is? Who can tell me what a promise is? Harrington.
A promise is something where you tell somebody that you know you will do it.
Right. Okay. So if, yes? Uh-huh. Right. So you want the, you, does God keep his promises? Yeah. So if I made a promise, it's saying something that you're going to do. Okay. So if I promised you that you're going to have cheese balls for snack today, do you think I should give you cheese balls for snack?
No, give us sugar.
Give you sugar. No, I'll give you cheese balls. So do you think I'm going to give you cheese balls for snack? Yes, I think I'm going to promise to give you cheese balls for snacks. So I'm going to keep my promise. Is that a good thing to have? Yeah. So are God's promises, do you know God makes us promises? Does he make us big promises? Does he keep his promises? Just like he's a really big God, he keeps his big promises. What are some God promises to listen to us? Do you know God listens to us? Does he promise to love us? Does he promise to give us a home in heaven someday? He promises to forgive us. Right? Is that all the promises that he gives us? No. He gives us all of our promises in what? In the what?
Bible.
In the Bible. That's right. And so we can read God's promises here. Does he keep all these promises?
Yes.
He does. That's right. So as God has given us this Bible, he gives us all those big promises and he's going to always keep them. Can we trust God to keep those promises? Yeah. So I'm going to tell you about a man that's in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, and his name is Abram. His name does get changed to Abraham. But before he was Abraham, he was Abram, and he was 75 years old. And he lived, I know, is that old? I don't think that's very old. It's not very old now, okay? And he lived in a town of Haran, and he had a wife named Sarah, okay? And they did not have any children. It was just Abram and Sarah. And they didn't think they would ever have children because they thought they were too old. That's right. But God spoke to Abram one day and he said, Abram, I want you to pack up everything that you own, all your animals and all your tents and everything, and I want you to move to a new land. What do you think Abram did? Okay, did he just pack up everything? That's right. But God also promised, he said, I'm going to make you a man of great nation. I'm going to make you a great man. And that Abram and his wife Sarah would have many, many children. Can you believe that?
Okay,
they were going to have, I know, they were going to have children. And they didn't think they could ever have children. But guess what? We know, because it says so in the Bible, that God kept his promise to Abram. And they had many children. They went to a new land, and God was with them, and he kept his promise to them. He made him a man, he made Abram a man of a great nation, and he changed his name to, what did he change his name to, Benjamin?
Abraham.
Abraham, that's right. Did Abraham trust God to keep his promise? Can we trust God to keep his promise? Can we trust God to know that he's going to forgive us when we do the things that are wrong? Yes. Can we trust God to know that he's going to love us today? And he's going to love us tomorrow? Is he ever going to stop loving us?
No.
No, because he's given us a promise that he's going to love us.
Forever and ever.
Forever and ever and ever. And God's promise says, I will. And so God has kept his promise, and he will always keep his promise with us from now until eternity. So we can turn to God, and he can, and we can talk to him about everything, and we can know that he will watch over us and be with us. Is that a good thing that God keeps his promises? So are you going to keep your promise? Do you ever break your promise with anybody? Yes? Yeah? Well, but that's okay. Do you think they still love you? Yeah? So should we try really hard to promise that we're going to love God every day? Yeah, so can y'all do that this week? All right, let's say a prayer. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you love us, and I thank you that you promise that you will love us forever, and that you are with us, and that you will promise to forgive us when we do things that are wrong in your sight, Lord Jesus. Just be with us and bless our time together as these boys and girls learn and grow and learn about you, Lord. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go.
Good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. Once again, good to have you worshiping with us online. I encourage you to go ahead and check into this service through the app. Easter is right around the corner, and we've got some events coming up. You can check those out in your bulletin. And our annual egg hunt / dash is scheduled for Palm Sunday, 10 a.m., and Carlene needs lots of candy to put in the eggs so they won't be empty when the children find them, so, or collect them, however you want to look at it. So anyway, go ahead and check out the bulletin for those events coming up. If you're able, let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. So this morning, I want to pray some scripture from Ephesians 3, Philippians 1, and Colossians 1 over this church family, this church body, and over us individually. 4 or 5 weeks back, we praised the Lord from Scripture out of some of the Psalms. And again, if you ever get stuck in your prayer life, go to the Word. Never can go wrong by praying the Word. So if you'll get before the Lord and just engage with me as I pray these Scriptures over us. Father, this morning we bend our knees before you. From you, every family in heaven on earth derives its name. That you would grant us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit in our inner beings, so that Jesus Christ himself may dwell in our hearts fully through faith, and that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and height and depth of that love, and to know this love in such a way that it surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to all the fullness of what you have for us. And we pray that your love, our love, may overflow still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that we may discover the things that are excellent, that we may be sincere and blameless for the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through you, Jesus, for the glory and praise of the Father. And Lord, may we be filled with the knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that we may walk in a manner worthy of you, O God, to please you in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of who you are, that we are strengthened with all power through the Holy Spirit, according to your glorious might, so that we can persevere with patience as we serve you, and that we can joyously give thanks to you, O God, for you have qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. This is our prayer this morning, O God, agreeing with what Paul prayed in the scriptures. O Lord, I pray that these things are so for your glory. God, would you rest on us? Would you rest on this congregation? Would you rest on us individually? Would you rest on our families, Father? Move in power in our midst. Oh, God, we love you so, and we trust you like no other. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Remind you of our giving opportunities. You can give electronically online. You can also give through the offering boxes by the doors. We'll have several people available for prayer after the service. Joyce Collins and Cheryl Hatcher would love to pray for you. I encourage you to take advantage of that. Let's continue to worship the Lord.
Where I lay it down, every line. Oh,
Good morning again, church. Glad you're with us this morning. Thank you for allowing Cheryl and I to get away for a few days this past week. We had a little recovery time. It was good. We enjoyed our time away. Billy, thank you for doing such a, as Billy always does, bringing such a strong word. I've already dealt with this in the early service, but I wanted to share it with all of you. Up here, there's a shelf underneath the podium here, and there's two bottles of water every week. And I told Billy months ago, I said, you're right, and I'm wrong, okay? So we could remember and keep them safe. So I didn't really want to swap spit with Billy, okay? So last week, I'm watching the live stream while we're away, and Billy, he's talking about this some kind of sinus condition or something. I don't know what it was. And all of a sudden, halfway through, I'm watching him. He's drinking both waters. He's drinking my water. But I call him out on it in the early service. He's repented. He came to the altar. I've forgiven him. Hallelujah. So, anyway, just thought I'd set that record straight. Also, just for you to know, we had a family join this morning in the early service. Clayton and Bethany King. If you haven't met young couple, if you haven't met them, they're a great couple. So, hope you'll get to know the King. And by the way, you can look in the directory, and there are pictures in the directory. If you're not in the directory, this is the pastoral shaming finger right here. We need your picture in the directory so we can get to know one another. If you're our guest this morning, we're glad you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ. Hope you feel the Spirit in this place. If you are our guest this morning, there's a blue striped card in the seat pocket in front of you that says guest registration. We'd love for you to fill that out. I'd love to meet you. I'll be down at this end of the foyer after the service, and we'd love to meet you and get to know you. We love guests, right, church? We like guests that become part of the family. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Now, Jesus, this is what we, starting in verse 16, this is what we've come to know as the Great Commission. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But Jesus has gone to the cross. He has suffered and died for our sake. He's gone to the tomb. He came out of that tomb. He spent 40 days in his resurrected body teaching about the kingdom. We've talked about that just a few weeks ago. And he is giving this final word in Matthew 28, beginning in verse 16, to his disciples. So let's hear what the Lord and the Lord's word has to say. Then the 11 disciples, remember Judas was out of the picture at this point. The 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him. Now who do you worship? Do we worship a man? Is this on? You out there? We worship God. So right there, the disciples are recognizing him as God. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you reveal yourself? Would you teach us? Would you speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name? Amen. So today's message is Blessed Trinity. We're going to be talking about the Trinity today. So Marv, where's Marv? Brother Marv over there. He found out what I was going to be preaching on today, and he sent me the results of a survey that was actually done. And here's what the survey showed. The survey said 23% of Christians, not non-believers, but Christians, 23% could not describe what the Trinity was, did not understand the Trinity. If you're in that 23%, 23% knew, right, Marv? 23% could describe. I think I said that backwards. 23% could describe the Trinity. And that's not good. That's not good for the church to not have a better grasp of that. The Trinity, let me start off by saying this. The Trinity is a mystery that's really fully understand, it's beyond our human capabilities, our human comprehension. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God is smarter than me. Anybody glad he's smarter than you? I'm glad that I can't fully comprehend all of God because he's God. There's several ways to try, and this feeble attempt in our own human understanding, to try to describe, illustrate the Trinity. None of them are sufficient, but one I like is when we think of H2O, the molecules that make up H2O, and there's different forms of H2O. There's liquid, which we know to be water. There's vapor, which steam, whatever, and then there's solid, which we would know to be ice, but they're all molecularly, they're all H2O, but they come in different forms, and with each has different characteristics and purpose. So the Trinity, very similarly, but again, more extravagant than we can really describe. It's not, the Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God, we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but it's not a hierarchy. It's not like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I'm going to show you a slide here in just a moment. But each one, three distinct persons, not persons in the way sense that we understand persons, but three distinct persons sharing one essence or substance or nature. So go ahead and throw that slide up there. This is one of the better slides that I've seen, and it looks kind of busy, but I'm going to help you kind of walk through it. If you'll start in the center, God. And so God is, forks out, God is the Father, God is the Son, and God is the Holy Spirit. But then, on the outer rim, the Father is not the Son, the Son is not the Holy Spirit is not the Father, but they are God. I like that, that illustration, that drawing. If anybody wants a copy of that, I can get that to you. So we sang the great hymn that I love. I asked Brent to lead this morning. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. So And most Sundays, not every Sunday, we normally don't do it on Communion Sundays, but most Sundays we recite the Apostles' Creed, which has the Trinity. That's the historical tenets of the faith that from biblical understanding, the early church leaders developed the Apostles' Creed, the things that are non-negotiable that bind us together as believers in Jesus Christ. And in the Apostles' Creed, it demonstrates, it communicates the Trinity. I believe in God the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. If you go back through the Apostles' Creed, those are all there. So, I've actually heard this come out of pulpits before. I've read about it coming out of pulpits before. People, pastors, and I think at very best, uninformed or worse, pastors teach that the Trinity is not a biblical concept. Man, George, I hate to keep whipping out the Greek on everybody, but I'll just do it. That's bull, okay? That's nonsense. The Trinity, the word Trinity may not be in the Bible, but the truth of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, it's all throughout God's Word. And we're just gonna look at a few verses that demonstrate that this morning. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit, big S, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. There it is. Now, more. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us, and created man, who's he talking about? Let us. I think he's talking about the triune God. Us. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. There's a plurality to that statement. And then moving forward to the New Testament, Matthew 1, the virgin will be with child, the angel said, and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Not a prophet with us, not a good person with us, not a great teacher with us, God with us. It's almost like that's biblical. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and some of you scholars may pronounce this different. I call it logos. I know there's different pronunciations. That's the redneck pronunciation. Word, logos is translated word, which in essence is Jesus, talking about Jesus. Here, in the beginning was the Word. So every time I say the Word, you can translate that to Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. It's almost biblical, this stuff. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. So Jesus was part of creation. God, the Godhead, was all there. The Spirit was hovering over the waters. Jesus, it says, Jesus was not only with God, He was God, and He created. Is anybody's mind ready to explode yet? It's easy to get there. And then verse 14, the Word, Jesus, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. I love this. John, who saw it, we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only. There it is again, the one and only God. But yes, but God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What? But it's one who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Luke chapter 3, when all the people were being baptized, this is it, this is that little moment, that snapshot in time where it's all parts of the Godhead, all persons of the Godhead are active. Jesus was baptized too. As He was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus. So there's two of persons of the Godhead in the form of a dove. A voice came from heaven. It's almost like the Father doesn't want to be left out here. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. There it is. There's the Trinity right there. Anybody ever tell you the Trinity's not biblical? First of all, tell them that's nonsense, and then show them. If we believe in this, yes, it is biblical. And then Mark chapter 12, Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? We know the part we remember, I think, is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself, right? But he doesn't start there. He ends up there. That's part of it. But he starts off and he says, the most important commandment is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. One God, three persons. He's reciting from Deuteronomy 6, by the way. So, are you with me? We have a triune God. Are you with me? Okay, so Jesus giving this great commission, the Trinity is all wrapped up in there. So we're going to look at that a little closer. First thing I want us to look at is through the Trinity, we have God's authority. We have God's authority. Then Jesus came to them. So he tells them, meet me on the mountain. This is the resurrected Christ. Meet me on the mountain and you'll see me there. So he meets them on the mountain, and here's they bow down and worship him, which tells us that they recognized him as God in the flesh. And then it says, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So he's establishing, he's telling them, I am God. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. But he makes that statement to make another point, because the very next word is what? Therefore. And we know when you see the word therefore, you got to go back a little bit to see what it's there for. So Jesus is saying, I have all authority in heaven and on earth, and it's all been given to me. I am God in the flesh. You are my followers. And it's like he's telling them, because you're my followers, because you believe in me, because you're part of the body of Christ, I have this authority and I'm giving it to you. I'm sharing that authority with you. All authority was given to the Son, Jesus, by the Father, therefore. So through the Trinity, we have authority. Do we live like we have God's authority in our life? I'm telling you, authority is not where we can push people around. Authority is where we can love on his behalf. All authority has been given to me. Therefore, secondly, through the Trinity, not only do we have God's authority, but we have divine mission. There it is. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus said. Therefore, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. These were radical words for the early church, especially for the Jews who had been, they had been taught to worship God, the one and only God. And now all of a sudden Jesus is saying to make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What is he saying? There it is. There's the Trinity right there again. Jesus is saying, because we're all God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Baptize in that name. And he doesn't say, by the way, Jesus doesn't say in the names, plural, kind of separating them. He says in the name, singular, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So he's proclaiming that through him you have God's authority and you have divine mission. So I tell people, so many times we see, this really just kind of in the last few years has kind of snuck up on me. When we surrender to Christ, when we are saved, and when we're baptized, we have a tendency, I think, to think about that as something we are doing. We are doing. But really, it's not that at all. we're saying yes to something he's already done. And so Jesus is saying, I'm saving you, I'm giving you this authority, not just so that you'll be saved and can live in heaven someday with me, but you have a mission. You have a divine mission. You have the power to carry it out because I'm giving you that. And you have a divine mission to love on my behalf, to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we need to understand that. I think that's something that, quite frankly, some in the church miss. We think, and I may step on some toes. I'm sorry if I do. But I think sometimes we think, here's the steps to become a Christian. Here's the steps. You know, you got to say this prayer, and then you got to be baptized. But you got to be baptized a certain way. And did you do that in my church or somebody else's church? I mean, we have these steps, and it's like, well, if you say the prayer just right and you're baptized the correct way, then you're going to have eternal life. And that's kind of like, you're good. As I've talked about, you got your ticket. That's not it at all. I'll say that salvation is not the finish line, it's the starting gate. Because we've been given a divine mission to love on behalf of Christ. I'll tell you, and I didn't mean to go here, but I'm just feeling led to. You know, as I talked a few weeks ago about launching our campaign to try to raise money for a new addition to our building, the one thing I said was, the last thing I want to happen is we become a church that's all about raising money. That's it. We forget the mission. We forget that there's hurting people out there. If all we're doing is servicing a debt, why in the world do we even exist? And I'll tell you where the challenge is, where the rubber meets the road. Billy and I were talking about this today before church. There are people that are hurting, in need of all spiritual help, but also financial help. It's like we budget. I'm not quoting exactly, but I know we budget $20,000 or $25,000 in care every year, and that can be gone that quick. You think $20,000? That's a lot of money. Not when you write a check for $5,000 to one person that's battling cancer, out of a job, needing this or that. We can't. If we don't ever get a building, we can't forget the mission. Because if we get a building and we've forgotten the mission, then why? What do we even have a building for? We have been given authority, God's authority and divine mission. And then lastly, through the Trinity, not only do we have God's authority and divine mission, but we have God's presence. His presence. I love it. Jesus gives us, he says, I've got this authority and I'm transferring it to you. I'm giving it to you as well. And for this divine mission to go and make disciples. But then he closes and says, surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. God doesn't say, he doesn't say to us, I've got this mission for you. Good luck. Good luck with that. Let me know if you need me. Maybe I'll hear you. Maybe I won't. No, he says, I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus says he'd been telling his disciples, I must go away. I'm going to be tortured and I'm going to suffer and die. And I'm going to be raised from the dead and I'm going to teach for a while. And then I'm going away. And you can imagine the disciples that had been with him for 3 years and literally saw him taken dead and lifeless off a cross and then were having breakfast with him 3 days later. Can you imagine the despair You're what? Jesus, you're what? You're going away. Then Jesus, sensing, I think, their nervousness, their anxiousness, he says, but I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus was bound by time and space. He was a physical person. But the Holy Spirit not only is hanging out with us, but he comes and he dwells in us. Did you know you're a walking, talking Holy Spirit? God, we're therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. How do we do that? Because the Holy Spirit's right here. First, we got to have the Holy Spirit. We got to ask, receive the Holy Spirit, and we're his representatives. Jesus said, it's imperative. It's for your good I'm going away. I'm going to send the Spirit, and he's going to not only be with you, but he's going to dwell in you. Jesus has the authority to declare this great mission, and the Holy Spirit gives us the means to carry it out. And we're going to talk more next week about the Holy Spirit. Because, man, I don't know where I would be or any of us would be without the Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk more about that next week. God is so, so big. When I think about how, you ever met somebody and they're an important person? I don't know. I know this. He's just a man. But I got to meet James Dobson one year. Cheryl and I got to go to a family retreat that focused on the family. Some of you youngsters don't even know who James Dobson is. But he's one of the men in this world that I was like, man, I admire that guy. And for just a split second, he looked me in the eye and he shook my hand. I'm like, man, I thought, that's cool. I met James Dobson. I'd love to have met Billy Graham, but I didn't get to do that. And for just a second, he was mindful of me. You know, think about that on a much grander scale. The God of the universe, as I said earlier in the service, he calls us by name. He knows, there's a great song, he knows my name. Isn't that incredible? The God of the universe knows our name. Not only knows our name, but embraces us. God, you are good. You're good to be mindful of us. Let's pray as the praise team comes back up. Father, we're blown away how big you are. So big we can't even define you. You created us not out of need, but out of love. Desire to know us. You are, through Christ, you are pleased with us. If there's those this morning, Lord, that don't feel worthy, church, just have your eyes closed. I want you to just picture Jesus. He walks up to you. Your eyes meet, and you can tell every bit of his focus and attention is on you. And he reaches out and he embraces you and says, "I'm just like you did with Jesus. We're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus." You embrace us and you say, "This is my son, this is my daughter in whom I'm well pleased." Father, would you convey that to each one of us today? That you're well pleased with us. You love us so deeply. Pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you don't know that God, that triune God that loves you, that Jesus that died for you, if you don't know him, don't leave this place today without visiting with me about that. If you'll rise if you're able. The altar is always open.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in the ocean.
just a reminder, I'll be out. We'd love to greet our guests. There'll be people up front to pray with you if you have prayer needs this morning. The triune God says, you are my child, whom I love, who I am well pleased. That's good news, church. That's good news to share. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you.
And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.